Welcome to the Hero Podcast, where we feature the inspiring voices of those who are pushing for the most effective solutions to the climate crisis. Before we get started, I want to invite our listeners to check out HeroCircle.app, the first subscription platform providing a stable income for climate mobilizers working on climate policy change. Subscribe today for just €6 a month and get live updates on their actions and campaigns. In this episode, our guest is Saskia Broinstein, co-founder of Juno Social Business. Saskia talks about how she combines social and environmental topics with business, a concept that was not very common when she started her journey 14 years ago. She explains how entrepreneurs are the ones who can bring about real change and how social problems and poverty are interlinked with climate change. Saskia also talks about the role of mobilizers, consumers, employees, and big investors in driving the change towards socially and environmentally conscious business models. Finally, Saskia discusses the work of Hero in supporting climate mobilizers and creating a new kind of purpose economy, where solving social and environmental problems should not just be a hobby, but a well-supported profession. Join us as we explore how we can all become heroes in our own way. Saskia, welcome to the Hero Podcast. This is a very nice episode because it's in person.
Yeah.
Usually most of the episodes have been, you know, online. So thank you for having me in your home. So
Absolutely.
How are you doing? And welcome to the Hero Podcast.
Really well, Mauricio. Thanks so much for having me as well. And excited to be speaking about Hero today, which is one of my newfound passions.
Wow. Yeah. We'll get more into that. So before going into Hero, I want to know a bit more about you and share with our listeners, like, who is Saskia? What is your story? How has your journey been? And where are you at the moment?
Absolutely. So, my name is Saskia Broinstein, and my background is that over the last 14 years, I actually founded and ran Juno Social Business. And Juno Social Business invests in social businesses around the world, so companies that have a social or environmental goal but do it as a business. And we also help large corporations to create the new business models of the future that are socially and environmentally conscious. So that's what I've been doing for the last 14 years. Before that ancient time, I used to be a management consultant at BCG. And before that, like, I was just a student. That was about it. So I'm not that old yet. So that's me and my background. Excited to chat with you today.
Amazing. So what have you learned? Like, what are your key insights maybe? What changed from when you started that journey founding Unisocial Business to now? Have you seen any change in the world? And when you came into this world, the vision that you had, what has been like the change? What are some learnings that you've gathered along the way?
Yeah, I guess I started, as I said, almost 14 years ago. And at that point, the combination of social topics and business were just, that wasn't, didn't really exist. So either you just did business, or if you wanted to do social things, you did perhaps NGO work or something like that. But the combination of those two worlds, they just didn't really exist. And that was for me definitely the first learning and my aha moment when I met Mohamed Yunus now more than a decade ago, to say, yes, we can combine social and environmental topics with a business approach. And that's actually probably the most effective way of doing things, because entrepreneurs are the ones that really change things. Policymakers are also important because they create the framework, but the interaction between those two worlds is probably the most powerful thing that we could be working on. So I think that's certainly been one realization for me. The other realization, you know, we've been investing mainly to focus on problems of poverty, over the last more than a decade. And one thing that I've realized really over the last 5-6 years increasingly is that social topics, social problems, poverty, is usually highly interlinked with problems of the climate change. So if you're poor, if you're a smallholder farmer and you're trying to make ends meet by, you know, having a small little plot of land and growing potatoes or you name it, climate change is going to affect you much more than it is for anyone here in the West, in the middle class. So climate change and social topics are highly, highly interlinked, because we sometimes think about climate change as something that is, you know, a little abstract and a little bit further away. But these things are incredibly interlinked, which also led us to, at UNO Social Business, to, you know, add the climate crisis as to our mission, which I thought was very important. Yeah, I think these are just a couple of learnings, like how to, again, bring policy making together with business, but that business really plays a role in driving it. But also how to bring social and environmental topics together is something that I've seen a lot that needs to happen.
Yeah, we're going to go a bit more into the policy in a bit, but I'm curious, because you disrupted basically the way to do business, and you incorporated purpose at the center of doing business. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, in the early days, did you encounter any resistance to this new idea, crazy quote unquote idea of doing business with a purpose, and how did you overcome that initial resistance?
My God, it has been an uphill battle, I can tell you that. I mean, it has definitely been an uphill battle. I mean, I still remember 14 years ago when we started talking about social business, they thought like, oh, whatever, these crazy little kids, forget about it. And oh yeah, there's this old Peace Nobel laureate there as well. Well, but he's just a dreamer as well. So I do remember, like, 14 years ago, people couldn't care less about what we did. And if at all, we were pushed into the, let's say, CSR department of a big company, or people were thinking, this is just some small little niche. And if you think about it, we've come a long, long way in this last decade. I mean, topics like, you know, we've seen a number of trends that have actually emerged over the last decade. So if you think about it, activists and mobilizers and grassroots movement have made a massive, massive impact on the work that we're doing, because, you know, the Fridays for Future, but also organizations like Black Lives Matters, have actually put some of these social environmental topics at the very forefront of what big businesses have to think about. I think that that has been one massive trend. Linked to those grassroots movements, of course, consumer behavior has also changed. And people have started, you know, not buying anymore from any old bad corporate, but they actually do want to know and want the transparency and to understand where their products or services are coming from. So consumers have changed. With consumers, also the employees within big corporates have actually changed, because, like, those are the same people that are buying and are being activists. They're also employees in big companies, and they from the inside are changing companies. And then what we've also seen is big investors, so, you know, the Ray Dalios of this world, the Larry Fink from BlackRock, so the largest asset manager in the world, have actually, I'm not saying they're perfect, but they've actually started talking about social and environmental topics, particularly environmental topics, actually, as something that they want to see in their portfolio companies. So I see this as a whole, you know, vast trend that is just moving in one direction, which is, well, we're going to need to incorporate more social and environmental topics into business and generally into society. So it's been an uphill battle at the beginning. And I think now we have, you know, wind from behind, as we say in German, that this is just going to continue accelerating. It's been definitely tough. And nowadays, sorry, just to kind of come full circle, nowadays, well, when I speak to a CEO of a big company, they're coming and saying like, oh, could you please help us doing X, Y, Z? Whereas, like, over a decade ago, they were like, okay, whatever, let's just connect her with our CSR department, give her some money and let her shut up, basically.
They saw it as a small action rather than the core of how they could do business.
Indeed. And now it's really, it's become part of the core of their business. It's part of their strategy. ESG topics, so environmental, social, and governance topic, happen and are discussed at every single board meeting. So it's very much core to the business these days.
First, thank you for having the courage to pushing that through. And I think you've
changed. Certainly not the only one, just course, to clarify.
but you're definitely a big part in that change with amazing colleagues and coworkers, I'm pretty sure. And actually, that is like the model that allows a company like Hero to even think of supporting climate mobilizers as a startup. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, thank you for setting those that path clear for companies like Hero to be born. You were talking about the importance of activists and mobilizers, you know, putting those big topics on the table and raising awareness about the most important issues of our time. Mm-hmm. Before going into what Hero actually does, I want to get your take on something that we have been seeing, that is, you know, the way activism and activists are perceived in the world at the moment. So there's some resistance, right? Mm-hmm. When we say the word activist, so it comes with a lot of baggage. Because there's, you know, within the whole space, there's some actions that are very admired by some, and obviously some other actions that would be more controversial. Mm-hmm. So, but this is just a glimpse of what people see in the media, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people, and you have been very connected to so many change makers on the ground that actually are, you know, taking activism as their full-time job, investing all their time building campaigns, doing connections, talking with decision makers. So what is your take on that, maybe to start from there? Is it all black and white? Can we go beyond what we see on the media and kind of understand the whole work and time that is invested behind climate activism and mobilizing?
Yeah, so first of all, I just remember the first time I heard about Hero, I just loved this kind of like core statement that just said, climate mobilizers are doing the most important job of our time and they're not being paid for it. And I was like, climate activism cannot be a hobby. So just working for social or environmental topics cannot be a hobby. It has to be something you need to be paid for. And I think that has always been also my thought as a social entrepreneur, as a social business person. You know, how can we create a business model so these topics can be dealt with in a serious way? Because to be honest, these are the most serious topics. And we kind of think like, oh, let's just focus on making money. Forget about the serious topics. The government is going to deal with that. That's at least the German approach, like my country where I'm from. Yeah. Or this is what NGOs are going to take care of. So I think that was for me the first thing where I was just like, wow, what Hero is doing is just amazing and we really need to support it. The other thing is the question of like what type of activists you want to support, right? And for me personally, you know, I've been a social business entrepreneur. I've been a social entrepreneur. And what I've always liked about the social entrepreneur logic is they see a problem and then they want to find a solution to it. And they move towards action to actually change the problem. You know, activism traditionally has been the area or like the group of people who actually say this is a problem, right? That's their role in the whole ecosystem. Their role is to say there is a problem. Let's make a deal about it that everyone else knows that this is a problem. What I really like about Hero is to say they actually help the people that realize this is a problem and make it a big deal to also move further towards action.
Yeah.
Meaning that they help them to get the tools to actually understand how can we turn this action into policy action. Because once we've changed policy, then these actions, these problems that are being mentioned in activism will actually be solved over time. So that's what I've learned from social business that we can now also apply to this activism to help them to move from saying that there's a problem to actually helping to solve that problem. And I like that a lot about the hero approach.
Yeah, I think that's crucial because, you know, it's no secret that a whole new generation cares about the topics, that want to do more for those topics. And I think that's where all citizens can play a huge role in supporting those future leaders, because at the end, these are our future leaders trying to secure our present.
Yeah.
So that support and that support has not to be only like cheering for them or joining them in climate strikes or joining them in their digital campaigns. I think that support needs to be transferred financially.
Yeah.
So that they have the financial freedom they need to do all the amazing work that you just described.
Totally.
And the only way to do that is if they have the financial resources to actually pursue that work and do it more in a full kind of time position, let's say. And I think it's crucial because we, as those, the same way you were a part of disrupting the social entrepreneurship and social business sector, I think we're in this key moment in time where Hero, alongside many other partners and great organizations and even the mobilizers themselves, can disrupt and create this new kind of purpose economy, you know, moving forward, the same way that other companies similar, like Patreon, for example, that supports artists with a similar model, have done it in the passion economy.
Yeah,
I think there's a great opportunity for all of us together to kind of help build that purpose economy where people that want to do more for the most pressing issues of our time have that basic and stable income to pursue.
Exactly. And maybe just to come in there, Mauricio, and that's exactly where I think like us middle-aged, very busy people can come in. Because what I'm realizing, you know, I'm sort of in the middle of my life, you know, I've started a company, now I have a little son, et cetera, et cetera. I'm so sympathetic with the climate mobilizers, but I just don't have time between like running a company, you know, having a household, running, like making sure that like I have my son has like a good life and gets educated. I just don't have time to go to demonstrate, right?
Yeah.
But I do believe that that's a super important part of doing this. But I do have a little bit of money, so I can just help to ensure that the Greta Thunbergs of this world, the Luisa Neubauers of this world, and all the other great climate activists that are out there are being supported. Because to be honest, like we just all know, we want to change, we want to make change, but then life happens, right?
Yeah.
and we're all busy. So that's why I find Hero is such a cool solution, because you can sort of find a very easy way of getting involved while not having to spend more time, because you don't have any time in this middle age.
No, and basically that's what we see. We see a lot of people wanting to do more for the climate, and they just need that effective, simple
tool.
Climate solution and tool to be able to act. So hopefully, or to all of our listeners, they can just go to herocircle.app and just subscribe for
€6
a month. it's a very small action, but it has a huge impact and a huge return, because obviously the more people that join the community, the greater the impact of those €6 multiplied by millions could do. And with every subscription, it helps Hero to onboard new circles in different countries around the world, working on those policy changes that are so much needed.
Indeed.
Saskia, so my last question to you, for you, what does it mean to be a hero?
For me, a hero, I think Muhammad Yunus, you know, my mentor, has been a real example over these last, let's say, many decades that he's been working. And so for me, a hero is a person that decides to solve a social problem or an environmental problem and just goes for it. That's
it. Well said. Amazing. Sas, thank you so much for joining the Hero Podcast, for
thank
all
you.
Your support.
Absolutely.
You have been a crucial part of the hero journey, and it's just starting. So
Absolutely.
Let's make it happen.
Let's make it take off. Yay.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mauricio.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hero Podcast. remember to subscribe at herocircle.app for just €6 a month to support the most effective climate campaigners and policy changers around the world. Together, we are unstoppable.